Thank you, Wes, and it's good to be with you again this Sunday here in the middle of July. I'm going to throw you a curve right quick.
Go ahead, you always do.
Yeah. We all know this song. Let's sing this together. Amazing grace. Boy, through many dangers and toils and snares, I have come and you have too. And my heart goes out to the folks with the little baby. That's just, we get thrown some curves a lot in life, don't we? But because he went to the cross, because he loves us, we have somebody that loves us and cares for us and gives us grace and gives us so much more, gives us all that we need.
Was
thank you. That's a lady brought that song to my attention here a few weeks ago, and I really enjoy singing that. This is a song that I heard a while back, and once again, places we sing, people come up and say, have you heard this particular song? And so this one was brought to our attention, and hope you enjoy it, if I can remember my intro. One pair of hands for the mountains. One pair of hands formed the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and moon. Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, the sand. That's true. Put our faith. I tell you, we're going to be able to lay all this down one of these days, aren't we? This is an old song we enjoy. I enjoy singing. Hope you enjoy me singing.
I enjoy all of them.
Okay, I hope he enjoys me singing.
I enjoy singing.
You ready? Some of these days I'm going home. Soon be done with troubles and trials, safe from heartache, pain, and care. We will all His glory share. I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side, I'm gonna shake my hands with the elders. Tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while. I shall behold His blessed face, shall feel His matchless grace. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Oh, what peace and joys reclining in that home of love divine. I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side, I'm gonna shake glad hands with the elders. Tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side, I'm a gonna
to my Jesus. Gonna sit down and rest a little while. I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus. Gonna sit down and rest a little while.
Did y'all like that song? I love that old song. I'm old and I like old songs. I shall behold his blessed face. Ain't that gonna be something? I shall feel his matchless grace. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Oh, what peace and joy supplied in that home of love divine. I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus. Gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side. I'm going to shake glad hands with the elders. Tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus. Going to sit down and rest a little while. I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus. Going to sit down and rest a little while.
That we're gonna, what you wanna sing next? He's younger than me. I rely on him to.
His I'll mind write it down and, when you say it, so you won't forget it. Calling you.
That's guitar.
Song. Okay,
we'll do one more
keyboard.
Let's do Why Me, Lord.
Okay, let's do it.
We got a list, but you know, I do that just to sort of keep my thoughts together.
This is a song the Lord blessed me with several years ago. Bobby kicks this one off on guitar. And we enjoy coming down here so much. We went to Cowboy Church Tuesday night, and Mona brought a storm with her, and it rained on us. So we had to move inside. But it's okay, because we were patient enough, and to hear the Lord's word, we were there for the whatever it took to get it done that night. So we were going to stay at midnight if we had to, wasn't we, Mona? Big blue streak of lightning popped behind Bobby, and he got to reevaluating his life real quick.
Oh, yeah. That was a mean strike of lightning. That thing, it sounded like a high-power rifle. I jumped. I thought I'd been God. My ear was a-ringing. I'm serious. My ear, that was loud lightning. So you don't want to be around Mona when she brings in a storm, I'm going to tell you.
Wes told us that a long time ago.
Sorry about that.
Lost and alone, no place to go, shadows of trouble, nothing to show. Just reach out for them, extend God's sweet love, and give them this message. There's hope up above. Just call on my name, I will be there. Say, Jesus, our Lord, we must stay in prayer. When dark clouds roll round, winds are too strong, Jesus will be there to right all the wrong. Just reach out to him, he'll wipe every tear, brush back all the clouds, erase all the fear. Just call on my name, I will be there. Said Jesus, our Lord, we must stay in prayer. Just reach out to him, we'll wipe every tear, brush back all the clouds, erase all the fear. Call on my name, I will be there, I will be there.
Let's put one more in there, which one are we going to do?
Okay. Got your faded out words right here.
It's another old song here, but it'd be an A flat there. Got it. I can't play today.
When
When you've strayed from the fold and there's trouble in your soul, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? When your soul is lost in sin and you're at your journey's end, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you,
calling you,
calling you,
calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? As you journey day by day and temptation comes your way, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow in His light, He will always guide you right. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you,
calling you,
calling you,
calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? When your soul is burdened down and your friends cannot be found, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow Him each day, He will brighten up your way. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you,
calling you,
calling you,
calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you?
Y'all give Him another hand. You got your Bibles with you, be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be looking here for a moment at verse 14 and read from there. But as you turn in there, I just want to remind you that over and over in the book of Psalms, the choir director is instructed to bring.
What a privilege.
Thank you. Did y'all hear God calling you? That's what I was going to say. I like that song because, if you remember, Why Me, Lord is one of my favorite songs. But in the book of Psalms, it speaks over and over about using stringed instruments in the praise of God. And I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, I heard Randolph Riddle play Amazing Grace on a Martin guitar. And I'd never heard a guitar where you could hear every word. And ever since then, every time you play hymns on a guitar and pick them out, it just, to me, it just lifts my heart up, and I hope that it does the same to you. But also the lyrics of the word, as they were singing, Why Me, Lord, and as they were singing, Do You Hear God Calling You? I want you to remember that God calls you, and He still calls you today, and God calls us through His word. He first of all calls us unto salvation. We see our need for God, but then as Christians, y'all might not believe this, but sometimes we stray off path. And God uses His word to tell us it's time to do a U-turn and get back on the path that I've set before you. Today, as we look at this text, I want you to think about and think about the value, the benefit, and the profit that is in the Bible. Paul here in verse 14, he says, You, however... He's actually saying, but you, Timothy, What he's talking about is the things that we even see today. Paul predicted this long ago. He said, look, I want you to realize this, Timothy. You're in a tough spot. You're a young pastor. You're in a church that is planted in a city that's still got a lot of cultural influence on it. And he says, I know you think things look bad, but guess what? They're only going to get worse. You're going to have a bunch of false teachers coming in. They're going to be telling you that you need to compromise. They're going to be telling you it's okay to do things this way. He says, but look, let me tell you this. All this teaching that goes against my word, he says, guess what? They will not progress. In other words, I'm only going to let this go so far. He says, look, they're going to be deceived by other people. They're going to deceive themselves, and they'll deceive others by not trusting in this word. Now, verse 14, Paul says, but you, that means Timothy, guess what? You don't have to act like everybody else. He says, I want you to continue to remain, to stay in the things that you have learned and the things that you've become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from your childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, and equipped for every good work. When we think about this text, I just want you to think about what Paul is saying. He says, look, you know the Scripture, but you need to continue learning the Scripture and also remain convinced of its truthfulness and of its value in your everyday life, is what Paul is saying here. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I just pray that we would focus on the value and the benefits we have in the God-breathed truth of the Bible. That, Lord, you give us the Bible to direct us to Christ, and you've given us the Bible to keep us walking with Christ. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask, if you will, to listen to this testimony of the power of God's Word.
Here tonight is international, and meet Gideons from around the world. I like to talk to you one-on-one, but what a joy it is when I can get you collectively and talk to you and tell you what you meant to my life over the years. You see, I was 38 years old before I was saved. My wife and her church family prayed for me for 18 years, and while I stayed drunk, I was in the trucking business and had a lot of payments and a lot of big pressures, and tried to counteract it with alcohol, and that won't work. That just compounds your problems. But on October the 24th, 1971, in a hotel room in Dallas, Texas, drunk as usual, I've been drinking a fifth of liquor a day for a number of years and driving an old truck. You may have met me drunk sometimes and didn't realize it, but I just praise God that nothing ever happened. But on October the 24th, in that hotel room in Dallas, Texas, standing in the bathroom with a six-pack under one arm and a little leather shaving kit under the other arm, set my six-pack down and unzipped that shaving kit, and right on top was this little red Gideon New Testament that second daughter of ours, Susan, had gotten in the fifth grade at Good Hope High School. Brother Herman Reed of the Coleman Gideon Camp had given this to Susan in the fifth grade at Good Hope. Yeah, I really didn't have any choice but to pick it up. It was just like a magnet. Well, I had a choice. You know, God gives us a choice. But the Spirit was dealing with me in such a way that I felt like I didn't have a choice. But I picked it up and turned to the front page, and that child had written her old drunk dad a note. Says, "Dear Dad," says, "turn to the back pages." I turned to the back five page, and That child had the page and the chapter and the verse and God's complete plan of salvation mapped out for this old drunk. And as I began to read these references and Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart, I fell on my knees out there in that hotel room and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, and it's never been the same since. And I joined a local church with my wife and family the following Sunday, and I've been there ever since. And after I was saved, I turned to the next page. Susan had written her old drunk dad a personal note. I'll just read it to you. She said, "Dear Dad," said, "now you've read God's plan of salvation, and I hope and pray that you'll believe and accept my Jesus before it's eternally too late." Says, "You'll never know true happiness, Dad, until you do meet my Jesus." Romans 8:35-38, pages 311. Says, "Won't you accept him, Dad?" Said, "After all," said, "he died on Calvary for you." Said, "No one ever loved or cared like Jesus, not even me. Love, Susan." Susan, today, I asked you to pray for her. Her and her husband, they're down in the Tampa area. Her husband just retired out of the Navy about 4 years ago, and they're both school teachers. And she's had an adoption agency down there for several years. And the past couple of years, she adopted out 27 kids out of foster homes in the permanent homes. And they have three of their own. The oldest one, he's a senior this year. He's 17. And the youngest one's 14. And they have adopted eight more younger than they are. So please pray for Susan. And pray for Granddad, too. You know. Her husband, he had drawn the line at seven. Said, "Susan, we just go so far with this adoption thing." And said, "I believe we've about reached that point." And I agreed with him. So, the line was drawn at seven. It wasn't going to be anymore. And DHR out of the state of Florida found this little Russian girl locked in a basement somewhere around the Tampa area. Been in there for no telling how long, and locked, fastened in a car seat in the basement. So they carried her to new, you know who, Susan, to take care of, to make some arrangements. And this little girl was smart enough and old enough to know that this was just a temporary arrangement. She'd been in the United States since she was 10 months old, but she was 5 years old now. So she knows where to go to get things done. She goes to the head of the stream. She goes and climbs up and skips lap in the den and says, "Daddy," says, "please don't send me away." He says, "Well, darling," says, "we'll have to talk to Mother about this." And so the little girl jumps down and runs and gets Susan and brings her back into the room. And Susan was talking to me. She said, "Dad," said, "there wasn't a word spoke." Said, Skip would look at me, and I would look at Skip, and so the little girl would look at each of us, waiting for the conversation to start. Finally, Skip said, "Well, what's one more?" So so he erased the line. So instead of seven, they got eight now. I hope I hadn't talked to Susan this week. So, but pray for Susan and pray for us as we go from time to time. You know, and I come from time to time to try to pump you Gideons up and encourage you, and I always go away with a blessing when I see how God's opening doors. What a privilege it's been over the years to be a part of this Gideon ministry. And kind of like old homecoming, I met a lot of people this week, and some of you I've known over 20 years, and what a blessing it is to meet you Gideons that God has used over the years, and I just thank God for you. And I just praise God tonight for the privilege of being a part of this ministry. And I'm enjoying this immensely tonight. And God bless all of you. And thank you for allowing us to be here.
You never give up. They say you're going to be led by a little child, right?
Amen.
She led her daddy to the Lord. It's good to be here back at Hunt Springs. First year Pat and I were here, we were right after the tornado. And I think we've been here another time since then. And It's good to be here with a good body of believers, good music. You know, the Lord, you're right, he stringed instruments, but he's got music around him all the time. So y'all have a job when you get up there.
Amen.
You know, the Gideons are known throughout the world for putting Bibles in many different places, many different countries. But let me share with you a story about a young woman right here in Lee County. Her name I'm going to leave out, but she was incarcerated in the Lee County Jail. And her story begins back when she had shoulder surgery. You know, that's a painful recovery. And she had to have painkillers. And those painkillers did kill the pain. It made her feel so good that she couldn't quit. And she kept on using them, and once the prescriptions ran out, she had her husband go out on the street and buy her pain pills. And both of them got addicted. It was a mess. Two children, married, had parents. Parents did everything they could to help. But she couldn't quit using those pills. So she was in and out of jail because it got to where they had to steal to support that habit. And while she was in the Lee County Jail, you know, we go there twice a month, every other Saturday. About 9:30 in the morning, we'll show up over there. And Sheriff Carter welcomes us to come up there and share Jesus with these inmates. Well, she was up there, and two of our lady auxiliary members, my wife Pat and another retired school teacher, went in there and would share Jesus with her. And she would get out, and next thing you know, she was back in there. Get out, and next thing you know, back in there. And they would keep sharing the good news that Jesus still loved her no matter the fix that she was in. But finally, you know, once you become a habitual criminal, they're going to lock you up in Raleigh, and that's what happened to her. But before she did, she surrendered her life to Jesus, finally. She went over there and served her time. She got out. She was clean. She enrolled in Sand Hills Community College, and she majored in substance abuse counseling. Certainly she was qualified to know all about it. And the good news is, once she graduated, she got a job as a counselor. Her and her husband both, with those two children, about 2 years ago, moved into their own homes and are doing fine. Never, ever give up. Last person to give up on you'll be the Lord. Join me in prayer, if you will, right now. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for being here with us in the presence of these men and women and children that believe and trust in you. Father, be with us with your Holy Spirit. May the words that you want us to hear be spoken. In Christ's name we pray. You know, the Gideon's favorite verse in the Bible is Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I send it. That's just not a statement. That's the truth. And we're going to share with you some of that truth this morning. You know, for the last year and a half, we've all gone through quite a bit, haven't we? I'm a planner, I'm a scheduler, and I like to see results. But I can tell you, it was hard to plan, it's hard to schedule. It was even hard to get a doctor's appointment sometimes. But the Lord has his way. And I'm sure he looked down on us and said, you're going to learn something in the next year and a half. I'm going to adjust your life a little bit. Some of you will take it for good and some of you won't. So the Gideons had to do the very same thing the church had to do. We're not going to shut down. We're just going to have to take another road, temporary detour. And that's what we've done. We couldn't go into jail for 14 months. And last Saturday was our first Saturday back. And I want to tell you something. The population's still there. The women's cell blocks were more than normal. The men's cell blocks. You know, when the Bible says the fields are white with harvest, the cell blocks are white with harvest. These men that I went with, and then my wife Pat went to the ladies' area, they know they've done something wrong to be there in the first place. Some of them are remorseful. Some of them are hungry for an answer. And consequently, when you talk to them about the word of salvation, they listen more intently. We gave out more Bibles and more devotional literature. I've been going there 29 years, and I've never given our group that many Bibles out. That's how hungry they were. I want to share a story with you. This is an unusual story now. Some of you may remember the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, considered the first really notorious serial killer. He was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. You know, the Bronx is right down from Queens and then across the river from Manhattan. Berkowitz was a teenager, and he wanted to get out and stretch his legs and have some fun, and he got together with a bunch of guys. They went over to a park over in the Bronx, and they were going to have some fun. They were going to go drinking. They got over there, and the crowd was, they had built a big bonfire and having a big time, drinking, shooting dope. And he was really having a good time. And he thought these people acted kind of strange, and he said, you know, what's everybody doing over there? He said, well, we're Satan worshipers. Well, he was about half drunk. He didn't care about that. He knew he was having a good time. But let me tell you, it migrated into a lifestyle of Satan worship. You may not believe it or not, but Satan can take a hold of you. He hits your mind first and your body second, and he's got you. And that's what happened to this young man. He didn't go looking for this. Satan was waiting for him. And he went through a period of just total, out-of-control, demon-possessed activities. They would go burn buildings down, set them on fire, burn them down, kill people. He actually had killed six people himself before they caught him. They locked him up. He went ahead and pleaded guilty to every bit of it. And the judge sentenced him to as many life sentences as you can get. He would never see freedom again. And by the way, he's still locked up. But what happened to him in prison? Well, he was trying to maneuver through the system there like any other inmate. And he was full of anger, full of emptiness, depression, you know. No, as he says in his statement, in his book, there's no real life, no real direction, no hope. And one of the inmates had a little Gideon Testament. And he went up there and started, said, David, God still loves you. And he brushed it off. The man came back and said, let me give you this little book. I want you to read it. I want you to know that God does love you. And then he said, you know, God can't love me, not somebody that's done what I've done. Just, there's no way. But he kept reading. He started with the book of Psalms. He had never read anything about, and never even knew anything about God, Jesus. Love was not a word he even knew how to spell, I don't think. But he kept reading the word of God that you just talked about. And it can penetrate all the way through that emptiness. And that's what it did with this evil, demon-possessed man. He got on his knees and asked Jesus into his life. Locked up in upstate New York, one of the worst prisons you can go to. And turned his life around in prison. He started a prison ministry. He led a lot of people to Christ. He wrote a book that became famous. All of the money goes now into prison ministry. He gets none of it, doesn't want any of it, can't use any of it. Never, ever give up. His new name, instead of Son of Sam, is now called Son of Hope. You know, 80% of the Bibles that we place and give out and the Testaments are given to young people. You know, if young people can learn about Jesus, you know, they're very, I don't want to use the word naive, but they're susceptible to listening. And that's why it seems like all the Bibles go to young people, 80% of them. And so many young people today have never had a Bible. Right here in Lee County, can you believe there's many thousands of children that don't have a Bible, don't go to church or Sunday school, don't know anything about Jesus? That's what we're dealing with. Unfortunately, and we live in the Bible Belt, right? And Lee County is probably as open as any school system, any public school system, to receiving the Bibles. We do go to the middle schools, and we go in the cafeteria, set up a table. We'll put 300 or 400 Bibles on there. The kids can come by, pick up one, and they do. One kid will go by and pick up one, and the next 10 will pick up one. One will say, ah, and the next 10 won't pick up any. It's just the way kids are. But we do go to all the middle schools. We go to the high school graduation rehearsal and give out Bibles. Those kids hang on to them. They'll put them in their backpack. They'll read them during lunchtime, because I've seen this. We go to the charter schools. Charter schools are very open to us. Christian schools obviously are. Most colleges and universities are. Me and a team from Lee County was in UNC Charlotte the week after that shooting. And that shooting up there took place right where we were giving out Bibles. But they needed Bibles up there. Now, there's another place we go, over to the correctional center. We go over there and teach Sunday school every Sunday morning at 8:30. Lifeway Bible. We also, Sanford Police Department, we give the Bibles there. Lee County Sheriff's Department, we give them there. Sanford Fire Department's all over Sanford. They have 54 employees, and every one of them took a testament. Hospitals, nursing homes. You see, we go places that the church, in a way, just can't penetrate themselves. But our job's to do this, and that's what we do. Now, who are the Gideons? Well, we're just ordinary people, born-again Christian people. We're a member of a evangelical Christian church. We meet every Saturday morning in prayer. We prayed for this church right here. We pray for every church in Lee County, every pastor, every congregation. Prayer is the most important tool any of us have. Now, we would like to see this church produce us a Gideon member. Pastor. I'll lay that one on you. Every year we go to New York City. We have about 6 or 7 of us that go up there, along with about 250 others from around the country, go to New York. 11 boroughs. I mean, 11 million people, 5 boroughs. You've never been in a place like New York. It's a cold place. People don't look at you in the face. They need God's word. And we give out, usually on a normal trip, about 250,000 Bibles. We go to places where there are Muslims, Jews, Hindus. We have scriptures offered in 29 different languages up there. I've been in a nursing home. A Russian couple couldn't speak a word of English, but we had a Russian Bible for them. They just lit up like a light. Otherwise, they were sitting there like that. You know, guys, this is something that God has ordained. It's for the Gideons to do this. You know, when he comes, and every one of us sitting in here be gone with him, what will be left here on this earth? Bible. There might be as many as 1 billion left around here. I want to share one more thing. A couple of years ago, I was privileged to go down to Colombia, South America. We went down. They won't let you go down there and share the gospel, so to speak. But we went down to teach English as a second language. And in those classes, we had public school teachers. I had 27 of them in our group. And each one of us had a day with these people that we could, we were teaching them. As a businessman, I was teaching them how to start up a business. And the first thing I told them, I said, you start a business and you don't include the Lord in that business, it won't last long. They really didn't know what I was talking about until I shared with them how God helps them through things that they normally can't do themselves. We gave each one of them a Bible. We shared, by the way, we had their superintendent with us too, and he took a Bible. We showed them the plan of salvation. We showed them that Jesus loves them. And you're talking about a crowd that didn't even have a Bible or anything. Some of these people were from indigenous villages where some of them had never seen a white person. So you see, these things God gives us the privilege of doing. I want to show some things to you that when you leave today, my wife Pat will be at the back door. She's going to give you a packet. Because you might ask yourself, you know, well, I'm sure glad y'all out there giving them Bibles away. And you may say, well, you know, what can I do to help? First of all, this church, I'm sure, will pray for the Gideons. Because it's so easy to say, well, that's all right. I won't do that this time, or I won't go this time. Pray that we will stand firm and go and keep on doing what we do. In this packet is in memory cards, thinking of you cards. Every time you send one of these cards, a Bible can be placed in honor, in memory of somebody. It's a very important part of our ministry is to be able to go and send these cards. But you'll be able to do so. Also, I want to mention to you, we're in a world of technology, aren't we? This is a Bible app. You can download the Bible. When we go and run into a situation where people can't speak English, you can pop this in there and look up Portuguese, Cajun. One lady was from Thailand. She spoke a different dialect. There it was. You see what God's done for us? That's why he said, you know, this word's going to go out around the world before I come back. So we have a Gideon Bible app. And these kids eat these up. They download the Bible on their little phone. They wouldn't go anywhere without that phone. You know that. Most of us have reached that point too, haven't we? And then lastly, I want to share for the kids. I see one nestled up there to her mother. Pastor, friends, these are called life books. These are strictly for the children. They're written, this is the book of Mark, this is the book of John. It's written by kids coming together and sharing the entire book of John or Mark in a way that the kids can understand it. And these are free to the church. Just order them. You can say, okay, we got 50 kids in our church. Well, they will figure so many Bibles and send them to you free. Now, kids, what are you supposed to do with them? Of course you're going to read them, but guess what? You got a friend. Give it to them, and then get you another one from the pastor. So these are free to you by the Gideons. Pastor, I want to thank you. Y'all have always made us welcome here. And I know this is a good, God-fearing, Jesus-teaching, Bible-preaching church. And it's a pleasure for us to be here today. Thank you, Pastor West.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bev, and also Miss Pat. I thank y'all for being here. I just want to encourage you to think about the value of the Word of God, and we do have some of these life books. I've got to check to see if I need to order some more of the book of John. I've got some back here right now, and I was going to have them out here, and it just didn't happen yet. But next Sunday, I'll be talking about that more, because next Sunday, I'm going to preach a message. I've been trying to get back to the bread of life in the book of John for several Sundays, and the Lord keeps moving us in a different way. But Tuesday night, I'll be preaching from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll be preaching here next Sunday from that, and I'm going to speak to you a little bit about your kids. But I just want to close with this, with you thinking about it. Paul says in verse 14 here of the gospel that he says, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned and become convinced of. All right, so Timothy has learned from the Word of God. He's also been convinced of the truth of God. He says, and knowing from whom. In our English, we don't understand that this whom here is in the plural. It's really talking about three different people. It's talking about Timothy's grandma, Lois, his mama, Eunice, and the apostle Paul. He says, you know who you learned from. Guess what? You learned the Bible from us. Hey, we studied the Bible. You not only learned Bible verses from us, learned the meaning of the Bible from us, but you saw the Bible and how it affected our lives throughout. I want you to think about that. You know, the gentleman, Buck, that was on there was talking about his daughter gave him a Bible and wrote in that Bible. You know, sometimes people tell me, I just don't know how to share. I can't remember them verses. Guess what? When you get to heaven, I know this. God won't be upset if you've written in the front of your Bible. Whatever Bible verse you think's important to share with somebody, write it up there. And you say, well, I can't remember. Was it in John or was it in Mark? Well, write the page number. Amen? And you can share that. And I tell you one Bible verse that should always be in your Bible and in your heart. And that's called a life verse. A life verse is a verse that defines your life. When somebody asks you, why they should believe this word, you should be able to give them a verse and tell them that no matter what happens on this earth, I know this one thing to be true. I have been crucified with Christ Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. No matter what the world tells you, we all need Jesus. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you today, and I thank you for the power of your word, for unto it is the salvation. Salvation that leads to faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, we believe with all our heart that your word is God-breathed. You breathe life into it. You are true. It is true. It is profitable. We can benefit from it. Lord, it can show us the false truths that surround us daily. Lord, when our behavior goes in the wrong direction, your word can correct us. Lord, your word can teach us. Teach us to live right before you. And Lord, all this is because your word makes us adequate and fully equipped to be able to be trained to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Bev and Miss Pat if they'll go to the back. She's going to be handing out them cards. I'm going to ask that Scott and Bobby Ray come and close us in a song. And I'm going to ask when you finish that song to close us out and pray. Prayer.
Question.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard, Lord, and we thank you for the Gideons that work so hard to distribute your word and to minister and reach out to people. Lord, help us to be ever reaching out and loving the world that we're in and the people we come in contact with, Lord. There's so many needs. So many people need you. So many people, I want to see them experience the joy and the love that I've experienced from you, Lord. And help me and help all of us to reach out to this world. And, Lord, help us to stand on your word. Your word is our life, or your word is our guidance. Your word is everything. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for your love. And we thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.